Yes, everybody, what's going on? It is the Fighting Out of Manchester podcast. Stephen Howson, Brendan Loughnane, and today joining us, we have got the world champion, KSW middleweight world champion, Scott Askham. What's happening, our kid?
Nice one, man. Yeah, thanks for having me, yeah.
It's great to have you, mate. I'll just touch on something real quick because I like to start it. KSW world champion, has been a long road for you. UFC, yeah. ACB, all these different organisations. Which one do you prefer fighting for, and what's the differences? And tell us about the Poland crowd.
For me, about them crowds in Poland.
If I say I'll cut that. For me, KSW, honestly, I'm not just saying it because I'm signed to them. Like the buzz around the show and everything, being out in Poland, like the fans are crazy. Everything. I'll never forget my debut there. So they have an opening ceremony like they used to do in Pride. I mean, like, you all stood on this big stage up on arena looking out. And I expected them to boo me, to be honest with you. Like, obviously, if a Polish came to Britain, like, I don't like it personally, but they're booed, don't they? Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I got a few claps and that. Do you know what I mean? When they said my name, I got a few claps. But then when his name were announced, it just went absolutely crazy. And just the atmosphere, like, I buzz off that, do you know what I mean? Being in enemy territory there and then, like, it was just something else for me, that. And obviously, I'm getting the results I wanted while I've been there, do you know what I mean? So that's a massive part of it. My goal, before I signed to the UFC, it wasn't just to get signed to the UFC, obviously, do you know what I mean? It was to finish my career there, do you know what I mean? That didn't go to plan. I lost a few split decisions, and to be honest, my training went right at the time. I was focusing more on my grappling when I'm a striker. When I look back, I was thinking, like, I focused so much on my grappling and I'm trying to strike, you know what I mean? Like, no wonder, like, I didn't get the results I wanted.
It was on the decisions in the UFC as well.
I've never
fucking killed.
I've never been finished. I lost two split decisions.
Brutal line.
Fucking ass. The split decision is the worst way to lose, isn't it? Because that is basically an opinion. You've lost an opinion. One guy's going, I think you won. The other guy's going, I think you won. And then this idea of a set wage for that and a set wage for that. Do you know how much them split decisions cost us? It costs us a career. It costs us money, mass amounts of money. And I like what ACB did when they put five judges on, because it's like, if five are deciding and then one doesn't, then you know four. But this idea of splits and half the money, and Scott was just touching on it there, that he's on a set wage now, which is much better.
Like you said, like, with UFC as well, you know for well, if you're not winning, you're getting cut. You know that. So you're fighting for your living, for more money. You're getting double money. You're fighting for your job. I mean, it's a lot of pressure. I'm not scared to admit, I do feel like I felt that pressure. Do you know what I mean? I got in there and I was fighting for my job and that. And I won't get results I wanted, and I'm not blaming anybody, do you know what I mean? I've learned from it, and here we are. But you just touched on there, the five judges at ACB, that reminds me. So when I fought Lou Barnett, that were five judges, but somebody who cornered Lou Barnett fucking actually judged on that fight, and he judged so four judges scored it 30-27 for me, and one judge scored it 29-28 to Luke Barnett.
Which judge was that?
ACB in Sheffield. I'm not mentioning no names. I've had it out with him.
What was his response to that?
Well, he basically said, are we cool? I said, look, I said, we're not cool. I said, you fucking robbed me. I said, I'm not being funny. You've basically tried to rob me, don't you? I said, it's done now. It's brushed under the carpet, you know what I mean?
But see that feeling there, what he's on about? I swear to God, you want to attack him? When you know you want to physically, they've took money out of your pocket.
Especially when four have gone one way.
They push your career right back.
Four didn't even give him a round, you know what I mean? And then one judge gives it. The thing I hate about it most, you look on my share dog and it looks like a close fight. I mean, like, say you haven't watched the fight, and then it's just like, it won a split decision there. If you watch that fight, it won a split decision fight. You know what I mean, I put a fucking beat on him. You know what I mean? Thank you. Yeah. So, and that was started getting ball rolling since leaving UFC. To be honest with you, Luke called me out.
I remember that. There's a lot of beef going.
I enjoy that though. Honestly, do you know what I mean? I grabbed onto him, didn't I, in the cage, like, bust his suit up, and, like, he thought he got in my head, but, like, I already knew I was going to grab hold of him, you know what I mean? Like, it was just for a bit of, like, sell a few more tickets and that, you know what I mean? Like, grabbed onto him, and But yeah, build up. Like I said, just momentum just carried on going from that. I've had four fights since leaving UFC. I've got bonus in all four of them fights, three finishes. Do you know what I mean? So,
do you know what? I'm really happy to see you here now, and doing well in another promotion. Happy, earning money, winning.
Well, you know that feeling, don't you?
Like, I mean, yeah, it shows me, yeah. Now. It's not the do all and end all. It was when we first started out, me, you, when even you was fighting MMA a long time ago. there was only three letters that mattered. And now, mate, he's in another promotion. I'm in another promotion. We're both very happy, and it just shows now the way the sport has turned the corner. Finally, guys are giving out mass purses in other organisations, and I just think it's a great time to be an MMA fighter.
I was thinking about this the other day in terms of UFC's always bought a competition. When it bought Pride, when it bought Strikeforce, when it bought WEC. But if you notice what happened when all of those organisations were bought and all of those fighters came in, everyone always went, UFC guy, that champion of UFC, he's the best in the world. But it wasn't always the case, because WEC boys came over, won titles. Benson Henderson, Dominic Cruz, Chael Sonnen.
Correct.
You know, you had, when Pride was bought, you had all the guys that came over from Pride and started actually doing bits. And then when Strikeforce was bought, DC and people
know,
like that.
That's true.
From Strikeforce, Ronda. I think that's probably one of the reasons he bought Strikeforce. But when all of those have come over, they've all gone in straight into like the top five, top three of the UFC. UFC is not the pinnacle of the sport, necessarily. I think what Bellator are doing, it's great, and I love that there's competition out there. I mean, what KSW are doing. I mean, I want to talk to you about some of the, what's the biggest stadium that you fought out in there? Because some of these are 55,000.
Yeah, I haven't fought in one that big just yet. Like, obviously, I do still plan on that. But
when the M's on, we're going. I am not missing one.
The smallest arena I fought in is Wembley, when I fought in KSW in Wembley. The two I fought in Poland were just unbelievable. I don't know the exact numbers, but I'm guessing like around 20,000. You know what I mean? Like, and They sell out that arena that I just won the title in Dansk. The UFC struggled to sell that arena out when they went there. KSW sell it out weeks before.
What,
you know what I mean?
Why?
It's crazy. Like, KSW in Poland is bigger than the UFC. I'm not just saying that, honestly.
How are they doing it? What's the secret? How are they getting all these bums on seats? Because no other promotion
can do it. It's on telly, isn't it? It's on national.
No, it's pay-per-view. It's pay-per-view in Poland.
How do you get in 55,000 people?
I was talking to a Polish fighter, and like, you know, like when you get to like talking about like people that don't know much, and they're like, oh, do you train UFC? Do you know what I mean? He says in Poland, they say, oh, you train KSW? They've got a sports bar and everything now. Honestly, like as a brand, they're just unbelievable.
Mate, we need to go and watch a fight.
You know what?
Yeah. They went on a show, I think, some point last year. They went on free TV and it peaked at 1.3 million views. That's like when you think about the population compared to America, it's a lot less population. You know what I mean? And like ESPN's only getting like 1.7 and stuff on UFC events. You know what I mean? Like,
mind-blowing. I seen a picture of Norman Park fought for the title. I swear
that was at 55.
That was the Coliseum. Yeah,
that picture. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Then Norman posted. Oh yeah, and I was just looking at it, thinking that is all incredible MMA scene that I've seen like that.
Do you go back there often?
They've only been there once. There were rumours that they're going there next year, but I'm hearing that they are just rumours because it's Euros next year, isn't it? But obviously that's a goal of mine.
55,000.
When you see the opening ceremony for that, like Google the opening ceremony for that. Do you know what I mean? It's unbelievable.
55,000.
Is it Warsaw?
1,000.
Is it what?
Coliseum in Warsaw.
Warsaw. Yeah, it's the national stadium.
What's Poland like as a country? Like going there?
Quality. Honestly, like everything about it. Like food's good. It's cheap as chips. Honestly,
I love MMA.
Like everybody who goes over as fans and that. Do you know what I mean? Like it's a cheap weekend. Like you can go to Poland for cheaper than going to London. Do you know what I mean? Like say I were fighting in London, it'd be cheaper to get a flight to Poland than sort of booze and that. Obviously London with booze and that, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? But the fans are just another level, man. Honestly, like when you go out there, you feel like a star. Do you know what I mean? You get swamped. Like it's a nice feeling. Do you know what I mean? Like to get appreciated like that. Do you know what I mean? Like obviously you're fighting on most of the time. I'm fighting a Polish guy as well. Do you know what I mean? So
Phil De Vries, Norman Park
now
champion as well. Norman's about to fight for his belt.
Yeah.
British MMA now is at an all time.
That's it. Like, of course, man. We're flying, man. It is. It's, It's like you said, you will sing golf yourself. Do you know what I mean?
Well, look, now what you got, all three of you have been in the UFC.
Yeah.
All found a career outside the UFC, all making good money, all getting 55,000 people to your fight. It's like, it's not the do all and end all no more. I mean, like, the KSW now, the things that they're doing, they've been doing it for years, though.
Yeah.
Like, we're acting like this is some
15
new
years now, 15 years, mate.
I knew about them when I first started, and then watching them grow, watching this PFL, watching Bellator, making big moves in Europe, it's just so good right now to be an MMA fighter.
I don't know if they're still doing it, but I remember KSW for a while had the sickest fight posters, like, outrageously good ones. Yeah. I remember one that they did a bit ago. Do you remember Sin City, that film that they did, which was all, like, man graphics and stuff? Yeah, they had a fight poster that was that. Fucking outrageously good, yeah. It was mint.
I always had to put shit ones, mate.
So pretty contract for the next one.
That's what I mean. Like, so I thought, and the next one, they did like Mortal Kombat, do you know what I mean? So like in the promotion, it was like two Mortal Kombat fighters fighting each other, do you know what I mean? And then I get a fucking punk, do you know what I mean? I end up being a punk on the poster, like, with Spike here, fucking dressed as a punk.
Hey, another thing I wanted to touch on with you as well. So both of us now, we've done camps in the UK.
Yeah.
And we've gone to big camps in America. What would you say the difference is?
For me, I think it's like, you can get good training, like, in UK, do you know what I mean? But, like, it's just a level of training partners. Obviously, you've got the coaches are world-class as well, but every day you with guys your own weight. Do you know what I mean? Like, you'll know yourself, like so you could do a round with a light heavyweight, and then you could do a round with a welterweight, do you know what I mean? For me, like, and then a round with a middleweight. But, like, there's so many guys just boom your weight there, do you know what I mean? Like, so you're staying with guys your weight, they're all in shape. I class it as like a conveyor belt, me. Like, so I come in 6 weeks out, and then you got, like, so and so who's 1 week out, do you know what I mean? And then when I'm 1 week out, like, you got somebody else coming in, do you know what I mean? Fresh. So it's just like a conveyor belt of just coming through, everybody getting ready for fights. So it's all like same atmosphere, same goal, do you know what I mean? Like, all helping each other. And I just feel like it's another level as well. And
where's this at?
ATT. American top team,
yeah. Florida one, yeah.
In Florida, yeah. So I travel there between 6 and 10 weeks. Depending on time of year, to be honest with you. Like, if it's near Christmas, I'll do a bit longer after. Yeah. Like,
of course,
you've had a bit of time.
What's Miami like as a place, and going there and doing your camps?
Yeah, like, we're in Coconut Creek, which is like an hour from Miami.
Oh, okay. A bit isolated. So I've been myself.
It is literally isolated, mate. It is isolated, but I like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought about getting a car a couple of times. Do you know what I mean? But I like that I can't go anywhere. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just I'm 100% focused. Like, if I've got a car, I might go around to one of the lads who train or whatever.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But because I ain't got a car, like, I'm just there watching Netflix and that.
Yeah, yeah.
And just focusing
on
training.
Stay in the gym.
Yeah. The facility is unbelievable, man.
Really?
Honestly,
have you seen the size of it?
Yeah, it's.
Well, I went there about 3 years ago. I was there in Miami on holiday, and I just thought, oh, I'm nipped down, got a car. Like you say, it's out the way.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought, where is it? Put it in my sat, and I've drove there. Just nipped in, seen maybe all the training.
Isn't it like the size of, like, Big Asda down here?
That could be the old one, you know, 3 years ago.
All right, really?
The moved around three years ago.
Okay, sweet. But I think it was because when I'm watching videos, it doesn't look like the one I've seen.
Yeah, yeah, it will be old one.
It's got, like, an indoor track and all sorts of shit in the new one.
Yeah, it's got, like, full-size cage, three matted areas, it's got hot bag areas, and then it's got dorms upstairs, do you know what I mean? So it's got 18 rooms in dorms, so you've got your own room, you've got your own fridge, but then everything else is communal, do you know what I mean?
That is mental.
Yeah. But, like, the thing, I say most people don't appreciate is we've got a cleaner, do you know what I mean? Like, everybody says about these dorms, like, the scruffiest, like, you've got to wash your pots, you know what I mean? Like, you can't leave your pots, and everybody sticks to that, you clean your pots. But, like, just a cleaner to come in and wash cooker.
Oh,
like, you could imagine, like, living with, like, 17 men, you know what I mean? Like, a nobby cleaning cooker, you know what I mean? Just after a weekend, you know what I mean? So she works Monday to Friday, then it gets to Monday, you look at cooker, it's like, fuck it,
I'll try being on the ultimate fighter, mate.
Yeah, well, I could imagine that,
no cleaner. And having food fights. Fucking, like, little children.
I bet that stunk after a few days.
Oh, who was I watching on that?
16,000 worth of damage,
you call it.
Is
that what it was? On a food fight, and they charged us for it.
Did they charge you? Did
yeah, we all got some out of our wages.
No way.
Yeah, because we just went nuts one day and thought, fuck it, let's blow the house up.
Should be, should be appreciated for the good TV, oh, shouldn't they?
We mean, just lost the plot. Yeah. We all got deducted, but we're like, you know what, it's worth every fucking
How old were you when you went on Ultimate Fighting?
21.
Yeah, I know you were 21. I was young,
I was a baby, I was only 5 and all. I remember when I got the call and I went in and seen Norman, Freak Show and all them. Bear in mind, I'm fucking...
Norman's been around some years, though, hasn't he? He's been around years, man.
Fighting him was mad, mate. He was something like 21 and 3, and I was 4 and all, mate. It was like, what am I doing in there?
Crazy.
Still give him a good fight, do you know what I mean? But like,
you know what? I'm going to have a quick look at who else was on that, because it was on my card.
I fought Bradley, didn't I? That was my last fight at UFC, Bradley Scott.
Oh, yeah, fucking. Where is Bradley now?
Yeah, doing cocaine, didn't he?
Can we go on allegedly?
Is it good?
No, it's not allegedly. It's definitely USADA. USADA caught him, didn't
they? That is the one thing you don't want us to pop up on USADA, isn't it?
You know what, right?
How do you get caught when you
say... You know the funny thing? He called me out, like, at the start of this year. He called... So he won a split decision against me, right? And then he called me out. I'm like, I just come back to it. Wow, your career must be going bad. You know, you're calling people out we've got to win against, you know what I mean? Like, how badly must your career
is
be going?
Is he still fighting?
I'm guessing not, do you know what I mean? But I get a little buzz off that, do you know what I mean? It's like, it proves that my career's going right in that direction.
Yeah, you are,
you know what I mean?
In the right direction.
Like, he won me and... I'm in a fucking miles better position than he's in, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I said, I can't imagine calling out somebody that won, do you know what I mean? It just doesn't make no sense to me.
That's a right team now. Just having a quick look back there at the team. That was a banger of a team, wasn't it?
Yeah, we... Colin Fletcher, he was a beast, mate. I remember the first thing walking in, because I'm a featherweight, aren't I?
Yeah.
And I took it on, obviously, you taking the opportunity, aren't you? I was walked in. And I was like, he's a massive... Norman Park's a big fella, 84 kilos.
He cuts like 7-8 kilo, doesn't he?
He's a big lump, mate. Colin Freakshow's 6'4" or something like that. Mate, a little kid just looking at all these guys.
I got speaking to him to an event after, and he says that... he fought in Canada, didn't he? After the show, he fought in Canada, and they basically didn't like all this freak show, like, you know, like with his mask and stuff. Don't allow him to wear his mask and all that, you know what I mean? And like, he sort of felt happy to get out of there, he said, like, for them reasons, they wouldn't let him be his son. He said, like, for whatever reason, they sent him to like it on Ultimate Fighter, but then, I don't know.
Like, you know, I mean... He was his own character. He's a top. You know what? Behind all the clown mask and all that, you know, he's such a loving, nice guy. You know.
Yeah. Every time I've met him, he's lovely, a good guy. Yeah.
Good pro and all.
Yeah, good mate. Fucking hell, fought everyone. Didn't shy away from a fight.
It's only really Bobby Knuckles that's actually done out from Team Australia, isn't it?
Who?
Rob Whittaker.
Bobby Knuckles.
Yeah.
Where have you got that?
Get on board, you dickhead! Come on.
I've never heard that one.
No. Absolute paracasual.
Tell us.
Bobby. It's his nickname.
He won it.
Fucking definitely is.
I thought it was something else. Robert.
Oh, he might have a fucking thing you want.
Oh, you've made that up, mate.
Yeah, I made it up.
All right. Yeah, the Reaper, though.
All right.
He was another cool guy. Looking back now at some of them names he was on, we were all kids. He was only 21.
He's
got three nicknames. I don't know if you're allowed three nicknames.
Think about this, though. He came on, he was 21, and he was fighting at 170.
170, yeah. He's gone up to
the middleweight. Gone up to Dio Romero.
I thought he was going
to
get
smoked. What's he like to train with?
I never trained with him, you know. There's three ATTs just basically in Florida, do you know what I mean?
And he's
not the Coconut Creek one.
Right. Who's that your one then that we'll know? Masvidal.
Masvidal, Colby, Junior DeSantos, Dustin.
All right, okay.
Antonio Carlos Jr.
They're not going to be there together.
Tell me about Colby. Soon. Is this all a facade?
Every time I've met him, he's a nice guy, do you know what I mean? Like, obviously... But whenever you meet somebody in the gym, they are, aren't they? Do you know what I mean? But I don't want to take sides because I don't know what's going off. But what's going off between him and Masvidal is a bit crazy, isn't it? Like they're going in guns blazing on each other at a minute. Like,
is it wolf tickets?
I can't remember.
Well, this is another thing, isn't it? I don't know, man. I don't know. There's a video on YouTube. They've literally like wrestled for like an hour. Like it looks like a party or something. They're like they're just wrestling for like an hour. Like they live together and everything. So
that is fucking. But when you want to crash, you both want that title. What are you still saying?
That is it.
What a weird position to be in.
Yeah.
You and your best mate.
Dustin's come out and said, hasn't he? Next time I see you at the gym, it's just on.
Ah, I see that as well. Yeah,
you're having it. And you're like, whoa.
Is that what it's got? Well, he said all that stuff about Brazil, didn't he, and all that. And I've heard that the Brazilians in the gym wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
So like, he has to.
Can't say much about Brazil without them seeing their ass, can you?
Well, it's like
they love it.
When you go to ATT as well, there's like so many Brazilians.
And
there,
he has to train on his own at certain times.
No, he definitely don't train on his own. I mean, like
not on his own, but like, I mean, he don't train with them now.
But
is that true? Or?
There's a lot of that anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like a lot of the top guys, like. I would imagine. I don't know for certain, but I would imagine they get together, they sort out of the camp, they get in who they want for them times. You know what I mean, and people are happy to work with him, obviously, because like it's good work for them as well. You know what I mean,
do you think Colby's got anywhere? All this attention, and everything that he's getting now. Do you think he's getting it because of his mouth, or because his record's fucking brilliant? Because he's a brilliant MMA fighter, and I don't think he's got anything extra for the shit that he's causing. Than he would have just got for having the good record.
I agree. I can't disagree with that. Do you know what I mean? I feel like, why would you want to be that guy that's fucking not liked by anybody? Do you know what I mean? Like,
in your own gym?
Yeah.
In your own gym. Cuss all your teammates that you've got to see every day who've helped you get where you are.
That can't be good for your mental health, can it?
And then you're cussing all the Brazilians. The gym's full of Brazilians. You're just digging your own grave, mate.
If Dustin Poirier was like, next time I see you, you're fucking having it. I'd be getting a mask. I'd be like,
can he wrestle? Will he get taken down?
That's what I mean. Like, there's been something said between them two, aren't there? Like, Dustin said it on Kobe said it on the aerial, didn't he? Dustin didn't like that.
He picked against him or something.
But
I seen that though. It was out of order though. Did you see his prediction? He kind of like put a dig in there just before the fight.
Was it?
And we're talking about teammates. And he's put a thingy on Khabib because Dustin summit Pori and like made up something before the fight. And it's like, fucking hell, mate. Your team, that's like, I don't know, I'm not into that at all. If you're your team, like, go against the world. But don't be going against your own team.
No, I don't like that. That's persona that I'm not
He's
seeing.
A gangster, mate. You know, he's on soon as you see him now. You're like, fuck, do I really want to do that?
That's it.
How do you think that fight's going then?
You're going to be parking up in the car park, aren't you?
Masvidal,
you're definitely checking the car park. But Masvidal and Colby,
we text him down. I'm pretty sure of that from the videos I've seen.
He's a great wrestler, Masvidal. I've trained with him too. He comes to Alliance for a bit, and he's
Colby takes him down. It's what they do on the ground and how often he's taking him down. I think Colby's cardio is probably better, but like on the feet.
I'm talking Masvidal Nate.
I pick Masvidal, I think. Nate's tough, but I think he's not really got much more bad.
It's a great fight, isn't it? Do you really think that this is going to be this baddest motherfucker belt? Do you think this is going to be a real thing?
Right off the fucking
Oh, my God. I thought they were kidding me. Like, I mean,
they're actually making one.
They're actually making a belt. That's sure crazy, isn't it?
Rather than putting it's just gone off the fucking
It's really turned the corner, this sport now, you know. It really has. I think
even UFC are like, they're latching onto the fact like the casual, casual fans, don't they?
Do you know what I mean? That's where the extra comes in. If you look at, I think, the highest pay per views of all time, the top four or five are all McGregor.
Brock Lesnar.
It's all McGregor, but he did some numbers.
He was a free show, wasn't he? He did big numbers.
I reckon he probably signed CM Punk hoping he'd have that sort of impact.
Yeah, of course.
Forget that. Brock Lesnar could fight his fucking ass off.
That's it. He could actually wrestle in that.
Wow.
How good would he have been if he'd have actually... Someone had got hold of him early doors.
That was a bit shady, that USADA thing as well, wasn't it?
A bit.
They knew he would...
A fucking bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. they basically like give him a waiver and then he failed it. Do you know what I mean?
USADA, mate?
As if they've even got like a one-time play, like don't test that guy. don't test the guy that's clearly doing steroids. You're not testing him.
Yeah.
Maybe not using it this time.
Jesus Christ. Absolutely.
Mark Hunter's got every right to kick off. Talk about that, because he'd be like, look at him.
He's fighting bare knuckle now, isn't he, against Vanderlei? Mark Hunt versus Vanderlei in a bare knuckle boxing match.
He's about 900 pounds at the minute.
Crazy. Why is he fighting Vanderlei? Vanderlei's half his size.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why is Vanderlei fighting Mark Hunt? What's the point?
Is crazy. By any chance?
No, it's it's bare knuckle boxing, isn't it?
Wow.
Yeah.
Some big persons going around.
Yeah, it's going crazy. Low box.
Would you have a go?
Clean up. It's not for me personally. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't think it is.
What if they threw?
Back when I went.
What if they threw a good 200 at you or something?
Money talks, obviously.
Yeah. Fucking glum me up.
Like when I was 18 and that, my coach at the time, he actually did bare knuckle like before it was, like just in a field, you know what I mean? Like about 11 people watching for no money, you know what I mean? Like, okay, you might have heard of him, Dave Radford. He fought Roberto Duran as a pro boxer.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, he's he just loves a scrap and that, you know what I mean? And anyway, they were doing this documentary on this traveller, and so they did this documentary on this traveller. So they found Dave Radford to fight him in this field. And basically, Dave messed up the old documentary because he paggered him. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. They never ended up doing this documentary on this traveller then. Yeah, so because he levered him, yeah. Man. And then, like I said, I was this was before I knew you could get armbarred while you're on top. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know a thing grappling. You know what I mean? And I said, I want to do that. You know what I mean? And he basically said, no, don't do this at this stage of your career. Like, no, it's a scar tissue. And I said, do this at the end of your career. I don't want to do that.
I mean, he's coming through now. Artem, he told me what he got paid. I won't reveal it, but wow. He got paid for Malinari.
Paid.
Yeah,
Listen, mate, if you're ringing me up and saying, do you want that kind of paycheck?
Yeah.
But prize fighters,
what? Well, that's it. Yeah, like, of course. Money talks. I mean, no doubt about it.
What I heard from Malinari, what's Malinari going to do? All he did was run away. Mm. Sweet, I'll let you run
that
away
video. That video where he says, "I didn't get hit all fight with all his face bust up." Right? Yeah, of course you did.
It is brutal. I mean, did you see the state of Jason Knight?
Yeah, that was a fight, wasn't it?
Some of the cuts that you get in there is outrageous. You're not meant to punch people in the head. You're not, or your hands aren't meant to be punching people in the head.
Both of them, big cut. Big hands. Head's just gone. I mean. Like I say, it has to be a massive payday.
Of course it does. I brought my hand in my last fight, you know what I mean? So, like, I don't fancy none of that bare knuckles.
What kind of injuries you had over the years? Because you've been doing it a while.
Not too bad, to be honest with you. That's the worst one I've had.
What happened?
So I brought my hand in. I'm a southpaw, so it's my hook. I don't really know which shot did it, but I can remember I hit with right hand. I thought that didn't hurt. That hurt a little bit, you know what I mean? And then. I hit it again. I thought, shit, something's not right there. But luckily, I got finished not long after. Like, so,
How long after?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I mean, I definitely did it in third round because I didn't mention it on my stool. I didn't say, oh, I've broke my hand. So I know for well I did it in third round.
Right. Okay.
In third round, we're only like a minute and 10 or something. You know what I mean? So. Like I said, very, very fortunate. But I knew finish were coming that round. I looked across at him.
He
took a deep breath right in front of me. Do you know what I mean? It's a great feeling.
I love looking across when you know that they're done. When you look across and you feel done too, that's the scary one. You're done, you're like, or if you look across and they're not done, you are done.
About this the other day, so he was putting Brady's face on. Fought Brock and Shane Cowan emptied the tank trying to finish him, which he definitely should have been stopped, by the way, at the end of that first round. And then they start the second round and Cowan looks up and Brock's just like...
it's scary, you know. You have to play a good poker face. A lot of it's poker face, mate, because you better not show you're tired. Like, I've had the odd, like, Duke Kawan, this last one, a good body kick, right, where I think, oh, my God, there's no wind. Can't breathe. You just got to march forward because if you in your face, might that hurt? It's the worst.
Especially the rear body shot.
I don't start running
that young.
I see that one in UFC.
I know exactly. His name.
But he's possumed him.
Chris Lytle, was it? Paul Daly knocked out. Scott Smith.
Yeah, that's it. Scott Smith. Yeah.
Google that one, everyone. Yeah. Scott Smith.
Yeah.
He gets body shotted. He goes like this. And he sees him coming and goes, boom.
Well, the guy just runs at him, don't he, thinking finish time.
Yeah.
I think the most dangerous time in a fight is when the other guy's hurt.
Of course it is,
because they're on the last chance.
Yeah.
There's loads of incidents.
Congo and Roy Nelson, where they're both just like knocked out about five times.
Pat Berry, wasn't it? Pat Berry, that was unbelievable. That could have been stopped at any point, couldn't it? And then next week, it's just like, ding! Wow. I bet you at the end of that, you're thinking, how have I won this? I bet you didn't even know. I bet you didn't even know we were fighting.
Oh, I know.
20 minutes later, it's going to be like,
it's mad that actually happens, isn't it? You know what I mean? Like, people go back and start.
Have you had that?
I've never had it personally. I've been knocked out in training a bit. And
explain what it's like when you get knocked out how do you feel after a few days, or was it immediately?
So I had a bad concussion last time I got knocked out. Any bright light or anything, you know what I mean? Like, really,
that's fucking terrifying.
No, it is. But yeah, did you feel like you're not even in the real world?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it's like, apparently I kept saying like, what happened? What happened? I still, even though I went like for like 15 minutes, I didn't come around right. Like,
you
know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. No, I was awake, but like I still want, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was just going, what happened? What happened? Like, but it's part of the game, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's never happened to me in a fight. That's the main thing.
Yeah,
so,
next day, how did you feel? Like, did it kind of like start wearing off then, or was it a while? Because I've heard some lasting up to 2-3 weeks.
Mine were two or three days. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah. Good chance to shout out a sponsor, Neuroptimax. They're honestly a new brand.
What is it?
It's basically a brain health supplement, but the ingredients in it can help, like, not prevent a concussion, you know what I mean? But like they help recover from a concussion, and well, I suppose they can help prevent it slightly, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Obviously, if you get bingo, you get bingo, do you know what I mean? But like, it's getting the right nutrients to protect
it.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's definitely worth checking them out. Like, they're no company in that.
And what is it? Is it a tablet or is it?
No, it's just a 10.5-gram scoop each day.
Okay.
It's got creatine in that as well, so it'll help with performance.
Brilliant.
You know what I mean? It's all got proper stamps on it and that, do you know what I mean?
Yep.
So, like, you're not going to pop any test, do you know what I mean? So, but yeah, obviously I went on that when I went up to Iver.
Yeah.
This was before that.
Speaking of tests, the KSW test.
No, I've never been tested there myself. When I signed my contract, it does say like, oh, you could get tested, but I've never been tested. And well, look, they love a fucking freak fight, don't they? I'm guessing.
I'm looking at their fight
posting. Yeah.
Well, Pudzianowski was fighting for
Pudzianowski, yeah. He still is, yeah. He still is. Yeah, yeah. Of course he's there.
How big is he in Poland? Just incredible.
Nice. He's just a superstar, isn't he?
Yeah,
of course,
like,
he's,
when you go there and he's on your card,
he's just unbelievable, do you know what I mean? Like I said, they love them freak fights, do you know what I mean? We're just talking about it off camera, do you know what I mean? Like, they actually call them freak fights, do you know what I mean? Like, if they can have two big meathead, like, bodybuilders, do you know what I mean? Like, for whatever reason, the fans love that.
I know, but they don't even fight.
Mad.
Well, you got about three punches in there.
Yeah, the gas.
Can we have a seat?
I hope I get this right. This guy called Popek, I think he's a rapper, you know what I mean? Loads of tattoos,
yeah.
Platinum teeth and all that. You know what I mean? Yeah, he's fought on there a few times, you know what I mean? Like, he has won at freak
fights,
you know what I mean? Yeah, he can have a good, you know what I mean?
I think he's like
5-3 or something like that, you know what I mean?
Him.
So he's had a good few scraps for him, you know what I mean?
Wow.
But he's famous for being a rapper, not a fighter, you know what I mean?
Jesus.
Crazy, dude. It's crazy.
Mate, we definitely need to go and check one of them out.
I'd love to. The next time they're
at the Coliseum, that's a bucket list MMA thing, that. He's
definitely.
That,
yeah.
It's like the Saitama Super Arena when Pride was.
Honestly, I'll say this to anybody, you know what I mean? Like, people probably think, he's fighting for him, he's going to say that, but I swear the production is second to none, man, honestly.
What made you go there? Because I thought you had offers.
So, I fought on the ACB and I beat Luke, and I had a few offers on the table, and to be honest with you, I bided my time, you know what I mean? I waited it out, I didn't rush into any contract, you know what I mean? I seen what were there, and then KSW came with best offer, and that's why I signed with him.
So, UFC, you know, you got released from the UFC.
Yeah.
You had a single fight, one fight deal with ACB.
Yeah, that's right,
You literally just sat there and went, right, what's the best one?
Yeah. So one of the reasons I signed with KSW as well, it was a non-exclusive deal as long as
Brilliant.
I won champion, do you know what
Brilliant.
I mean? So I could still fight on other promotions. So
did you?
Yeah. Well, I didn't know. I signed to fight on ACB, but I ended up getting injured.
They were fine with that?
Yeah.
Wow.
As long as it's not in Poland, like, that will fine, do you know what I mean?
As long as you're not champion.
What a brilliant
As long as I'm not champion. So I'm exclusive with him now, like, yeah. So.
That's a brilliant clause, isn't it? Shows only have a certain amount of shows a year.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And
that's
we want to be active.
Gosh,
it's our bread and butter.
Yeah.
We live on this.
Yeah.
We feed ourselves with it. So, like, you say that, like, nothing's on until December and you're in fucking March,
nice
go and look elsewhere and it's great.
It's not only that as well. It's a short career, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it might... How old are you, Aaron?
29.
Like, see, I'm like 31, do you know what I mean? So, like, I think about it all the time. Like,
by your weight class, mate.
Yeah.
31.
I'm aiming for 38 myself, do you know what I mean? But I still think, like, I'm... over halfway through my career, do you know what I mean? Well, about halfway through my career, do you know what I mean? So, like, when them paychecks come, do you know what I mean? You've obviously got to... I don't want to be back on shovel grafting, do you know what I mean? Like,
I
just, like, obviously trying to be sensible with my money and that, investing right into the right things and that, do you know what I mean? But, it's just one of the things you got to think about, isn't it?
Don't you think that, I mean, now, like you say, when we first started and you were getting £200, mate. I'm not joking. Crazy, sounds like I'm lying. Yeah. I'm not lying to anyone. You get £200.
Was that not even a guaranteed as well? Was that like if you sell a lot of tickets? No, you sell some tickets, Brendan.
You were getting £2 compared to what you're getting now. Like, and the level mad, now, it's like, wow.
Well, it's ticket only deals crazy. That people
there was
do
ticket only deals, the, yeah.
Some people still get them, you know what I mean? Like,
it's sad, mate. It's sad.
It's crazy.
But on the promoter's side, sometimes it is hard as well, these local shows.
Yeah, of course
it is. I mean, it's like, they can't afford to be giving you the money they wish they could. Do you know what I mean? And some promotions, I'm not going to say it out loud, but I really take it the piss though. like, some promotions you have to get medicals for and they don't even give you enough to cover them.
Yeah.
So you're fighting for free.
Yeah.
And it's only looking out at me.
Yeah, but you can get a UFC contract through them though.
what are you talking about, mate? But it's like, come on, what are we doing here? Like, we're putting our lives, our bodies on the line. We're training full time.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. But that's part of the journey, isn't it? You know what I mean?
It is.
Them battles and then that looking after your money and like trying to make it all work. You know what I mean? It's all part of it, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Think if you'd have just been like getting, you know, 10, 20 grand per
fight. True.
From 1-0.
True.
You haven't got the same, like the journey is just as important as the end.
That's true. But
like those funny stories about, you know, Clash of Warriors and stuff like that, fighting in fucking sports centres and stuff. Like, where did you start?
I started in, it don't even exist no more, BFC, it was called, British Fighting Championships, in just in Barnsley, basically. Okay.
Did you have any semi-pro?
Semi-pro.
I had eight. Semi-pro.
Yeah. I lost my first two, both by submission.
Because you just didn't know.
Like I said, I literally got on top of him, and then next time I'm in an armbar, and my defence were trying to kick his arm off. You know what I mean? Like, I'm end up here, I'm on top. I didn't even know that could happen at the time.
Back at the level of crazy. Like, semi-pro for what you all fought at, or amateur that I fought at. And look at the level of amateurs now. We're talking about Muhammad, weren't we? Like
just the IMFs and the whole.
Yeah.
I train with some amateurs now, mate. Like today, crazy. We was sparring today. We've got this lad in. He's fighting on an Andy show. He's not even had an amateur yet, and he's in there giving good rounds out, mate. Not even had an amateur fight yet.
That Bulgarian dude, I think he's 67-0 amateur.
Crazy.
He's going to jump straight into a main card somewhere and fuck someone up.
Really badly. My
advice to all amateurs would be to go down that route, you know what I mean? The IMAF route.
It's phenomenal, isn't it?
Look at Mohammed, like you just said, you know what I mean? Yeah. He's doing absolute bits, isn't he? Smashing in. I know full well, as soon as he turns pro, he's not fighting for no 200 quid, you know what I mean? He's number one in the world, isn't he?
That's the difference that the sport has gone through from, you know, fighting in leisure centres for ticket or for 200 quid to this whole infrastructure of an amateur network that's going out there. And people know, like, it's easier to get matched properly, isn't it? Rather than just like, I know, he's 0-0 as well. So fight him. And one of them's, someone's going to get matched against the Muhammad, aren't they?
That's it. You've got to be prepared to fight anyone, aren't you? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
there's no way you'd go in semi-pro. Even if you went amateur now and didn't know an armbar, people would laugh at you almost. Fucking roof.
Yeah, I mean, semi-pro, that was just basically a promoter saying, I don't want to pay you a pro money. I'm going to call it. But we'll fight pro rules, we'll call it semi-pro.
Yeah.
And we're just absolutely having everyone's
back. You just can't punch your head on the floor.
Nah,
I can remember.
I could.
Oh, could you?
You learned everything.
Yeah. I remember I hit this kid with an uppercut, like, very first exchange. I hit him with an uppercut, and he won't floor, like, what do I know? Can't hit him. So I backed off, you know what I mean? Let him stand up and then...
Full pro rules, but that's where shin guards.
What is it? Full amateur rules now?
I think it's no elbows.
Free freeze. No elbows. I think if I'm right, it's no knees to head. No knees
at
to
all.
Head.
Okay.
At all.
Ground pound, no?
You can ground pound, no elbows, No elbows standing either.
I think they're brilliant. Yeah. I think them rules are perfect.
Yeah.
Got bigger gloves on.
See, I think more and more UKs need to adapt to these rules, you know what I mean? Like, if they're fighting amateur, they should have shin guards on, you know what I mean? Because they're the rules. If guys are looking to go to IMAFs and stuff, they need to get used to these rules.
I agree.
And
I mean, they're not big shin pads, either.
They're like socks. I remember I had a pair of them for my first ever pair of shin guards, you know what I mean? I look back at me, fucking, I'm kicking people in the head with them, you know what I mean?
Like I'm tracing people.
I know, isn't it? It protects my shin when it hits the head.
That's it. That's the only thing it protects. Because they wear a rash guard up. I think it looks visually.
Yeah, of course it does. Yeah, definitely.
The level is outrageously good as well. I mean, you've been to Bahrain.
Have you been to Bahrain?
No, I've never been. No, I've heard. I've heard the Prince of Bahrain's well into MMA and that. And obviously, he started the Brave MMA.
He carries the fucking bucket out. I got so much. The Prince.
Yeah.
Prince of Bahrain
carries what bucket out?
Fucking spit bucket.
Is that involved?
Is that involvement?
He's got his own team, hasn't he? He's got a team. I'm sure.
He's not allegedly. Fucking definitely.
You love getting allegedly in there, just in case.
Wow, that is fucking.
Yeah, but like that. I can't remember. But he was paying guys to go over and that. Do you know what I mean?
Well, Khabib's affiliated with his team, I believe. I don't think he does much of a camp out there or anything like that. But he is some of that.
These guys, you know what I mean, with like this sort of money and like getting involved in MMA can only be good,
The prince of a country, and he was like, look, I like doing it. He's had a fight, which I'll say no more on that, but the...
That's
it? We'll say no more on that.
Can I see... How do you see his fight?
I'll say no more on that. but he's obviously a big fan of the sport. Like I said, he gets involved. He's carrying a fucking spit bucket as a prince, and you can't argue with that.
Of course,
I was having a chat to him in the fucking warm up area and stuff like that, and he's just a dude. You know, he just happens.
He did the black tie one, didn't he? Down London.
I worked that.
Cornering my teammate. I didn't actually go out and see, like, I mean, I seen from up above, but it was literally like no more than 20 tables.
Just a real private event.
And everybody, like, bearing in mind this was like at Copper Box Arena, do you know what I mean? So, like, they paid.
I can imagine.
Wow. And then, like, it's just like, I know one table where Brian Lacey, Luke Barnett, and Brad Pickett, and all them, do you know what I mean?
I know from Geordie Shore, Paul Daly.
Jimmy Manu were there, do you know what I mean? So, like, there were a few celebrity type people there, do you know what I mean? But overall, it was a good show. It was run properly and that, do you know what I mean? I think it had 7 fights on it, so not many fights. But, yeah, imagine just having that much money that you could just put on a show.
I think the arena's named after his dad that you fight in Bahrain. They have 3 cages in there, which is a nightmare trying to keep an eye on what's going on in 3 cages at the same time.
This for the IMAF,
IMAF. Just to roll through how many fights they've got
to do.
That's
what I mean.
They put us all in a 5-star hotel. They put coaches on from the hotel to the arena. They close the motorway while the fighters are coming down the motorway.
What?
Can you imagine you're like running late for work and they're like, motorway closed, there's a lot of going to the arena. Close the motorway.
Imagine that as an amateur.
Yeah, I know,
police escort blasting down the motorway, arrive at the arena. It's a banging arena, probably holds, I would say, like 3,000 or 4,000. Perfect size for just small, low-level MMA. Great, just everything facility-wise. And they put on like a festival. Do you like they have like the UFC Fan Expo? They have a load of like, like stalls and shit outside. Yeah. And it weren't many, but you know, enough to go and.
Wow, that's.
It was class. Yeah, like I said, I think you should go and experience it because it's unbelievable. I would recommend anyone.
Me and Scott, we're in the thick of our career now. Like I say, he's at his prime. We're getting to my prime. We're finally getting paid good money. It's a chance to make real money. So stuff like that, I do really want to get into. Obviously.
Yeah, definitely, man. Yeah, like I say, it's a short career, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, like. This is how I'd like it to go. I don't know if it's good. Like, I'd love for MMA to get in Olympics, and then by the time my career's over, they're going to need some coaches and that, and then I'd like to already have my foot in them sort of doors, ready to go down that route to coach fighters. Like that's what I'd love to do personally. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if I could go down that route, that'd be
I mean, when you look around the UK, there's not many that have done it as long as us, and I've actually been there, one fight, been UFC, been all these major organisations, so... I mean, like I say, if it gets into the Olympics, it's gone clear. I mean, it was funny though having Dean last week saying he didn't want to really go down that road. And you know, when he was here last week, and he gave some
pointers. Is that what he said?
Yeah, he was like, he was giving some pointers for it. I understood what he was saying, but the way Dean was putting across his things too, and he was taking it to the next level again, all the sort of stuff and going to the universities, getting it funded by the government, where he'd get paid to do a role where he'd bring kids off the street, and it'd be like a going college, you'd be doing.
That's what I mean. Like MMA gets zero funding whatsoever now. Do you know what I mean? Like absolutely nothing.
If it was an Olympic sport,
exactly. Like as an amateur boxer, going to Olympics or world championships, you can be earning between 20 and 30 grand a year. Like as an amateur,
I mean, this is years ago now as well. Amir Khan was getting paid 80 grand a year to stay amateur, and you're like, hang on.
Yeah, crazy. So imagine now MMA with Olympics, like Muhammad, imagine what he'd be, you know what I mean?
That'd
like,
he'd be
the type of person that they'd want to stay, is it next year, Olympics?
Is it football Europeans? What is it? I'm not sure when they're next Olympics.
It's 2022.
Yes, I mean, it might be a bit of a...
Oh, no, yeah, 2020, yeah, 2020, yeah. So they definitely want him to... Yeah. You know what I mean? They'd want him to stay...
Well, he's the world number one.
Yeah, of course, you know what I mean?
He's like, going to be the flag bearer.
It's a bit of a push to get it in this Olympics.
Yeah, of course, yeah. It's not going to happen now, but like, I'm just giving an example. I mean, like Amir Khan, we're getting that sort of money to be out an amateur, you know what I mean? Like...
We train harder than boxing.
That's a debate. Come on, we've got this debate.
He wanted to keep it in the cage, didn't he? But I think I'm after going down the route of it's going to be on open mats like jiu-jitsu is and jiu-jitsu Yeah, just for the aesthetic.
No, I think it's got to be in a cage.
I think it's got to be in a cage. I get why people want to get away from the cage because you're a cage fighter. You know what I mean?
That's what it is.
Yeah, the cage does protect people. You know what I mean? It's there to protect people.
Well, the thing is, Dean was talking about this cage at the bottom of a ring, and he's saying, "Oh, I personally am not for that." I fought in a ring before. Have you ever fought MMA?
It's a semi-pro.
Yeah, semi-pro. Me too. How bad is it?
Yeah, it's not good. I jumped on somebody's back, like I turned away from it, and I literally nearly went over top of it.
I'll give you an example. Go and watch Darian Caldwell versus Horiguchi, the first fight. Yeah. You know, good friend of mine, trained with him for that fight. He had him in a double wrist lock. He had him in. All he did, scoot out the ring, start again.
So you don't even restart in the submission, no?
It's literally total restart again, and it's like, come on. He's worked so hard to get that takedown, get that position, double wrist lock. That was an offence.
Were M1, I seen they were doing, like, the cage at the bottom,
wasn't
That's
they? What I'm talking
that?
About.
Yeah.
Even that doesn't really work, though, because I like to get on the cage, get my back in.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Work up. I totally agree.
That's a whole skill in itself.
Of course it is. When MMA first started, people were taught to get the head towards cage so they couldn't move it for ground and pound. But now it's get their head away from cage because they're going to get up off it. Exactly. I mean, that's the evolution. That's the
And a ring takes all that away.
All that away.
And if I'm in an advantageous position, I'm ground and pounding, all you have to do is stick your head under the rope and you've got to restart. I'm just not a fan of MMA in a ring. I just don't think it works for aesthetically what we're doing. Even the cage in a ring doesn't work because it's like you can still put your head over the... It's like...
Well, how'd you work for a takedown against ropes?
It's not good, mate. I've done it. We've all sparred in rings. We've fought in rings and it's just not the same, especially when you push them against it. They can put their ass out the ring. I mean, it just doesn't work for MMA, I don't think, personally.
You ain't see me going for no takedown against any ropes anyway. I could imagine it's not easy, you know what I mean?
It's not nice.
No, not that.
Like I say, in Thai boxing, in boxing, in kickboxing, they don't need to go for takedown, so it's perfect for them. They can bounce off the rope, they can move around. With us, it serves a purpose. Bam, 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 I'm pushing him against the fence, I'm trying to work for a takedown. And he can physically put his ass out, whereas if that fight was in a different thing, like in a cage, it's a different outcome.
I think even boxing in a cage would be better. Because I think you can get cornered
that's part of the sport, though, isn't it? You know what I mean? That's years and years. You know what I mean?
I agree with boxing in a ring because, I mean, visually, it's harder to see an MMA fight with a cage.
Yeah.
Like, because it's a big box around you, whereas a ring, it's very open. Mm. It's very, it brings the atmosphere up of what's going on in a ring, and we fought in ring for generations.
It's not that people use the ropes and that to dodge shots, coming off.
Imagine on a fence trying to do that. Yeah. Like, boom, boom.
That's
boom.
What I think it'd be more interesting.
And also, like, the footwork teaches you to block people in corner and that, don't it?
True.
But I do think, like, if MMA does go to Olympics, it's got to be in a cage for a simple reason. Why fight on an open mat and then when you go pro fighting? Fighting a cage. Don't really make sense, does it?
What you're practicing for is a totally different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same as in, you know, boxing in the Olympics versus boxing pro. It's the sensors on the edge of the gloves, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was the headgear. I don't know if they've got rid of the headgear now, I believe. So it's a different sport anyway. But I think getting it into the Olympics, even in a slightly modified format, would be amazing for the sport, I'm sure.
Yeah, no,
you're still
going
to get to see people training.
Listen, if the Olympic turn around tomorrow and go, it has to be in a ring. All for it, you have to do it.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
It's not our sport. Our sport needs a cage in order to be mixed martial arts.
It was an open mat, like judo and jiu-jitsu is.
Nah,
and I think that might have been...
What do you think of that?
I think there's some of the element of them trying to just say...
That'll be even worse.
We'll use that.
So what happens if you start the takedown on the mat and you're driving them off of the mat?
Same as wrestling.
Yeah. So if it starts I think wrestling, if it starts in the scored area and it finishes outside, it still counts, I think. I'm not 100% on that, but I think that's right.
Oh, in wrestling?
I think
I can push you out and I've got points.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is if you start a takedown, like, this close to edge and then finish it, I think you get the points.
Okay, even if it just crosses the line.
I think so. I'm 100% on that, but yeah.
I don't like the concept of open mat.
Me too.
I think the cage serves a purpose.
But like Sambo, won't it? Sambo's open mat, isn't it?
I'd rather see it in the cage. I'm just thinking, I know that.
You know what he touched up on there about boxing, where it senses in gloves. So you're saying now it's, that you score the point with a sensor in the gloves. Is that what you're saying? Yeah,
what?
Yeah, in boxing.
That was the crack, yeah.
Yeah. So what, back when I, back when I boxed as an amateur, we were talking 12 years ago. Like, you got like five old men stood round a rig, and if they all. If three of them press it, we in so many milliseconds or other, you get a point. Like,
that's not a bad idea, though.
I don't know, but
I know it's changed.
If you had five young men, maybe, yeah, but like
so three
like
guys said, are sat watching it.
Five, but three of them have got to press it within so many milliseconds of each other for it to score.
I think it's a good idea.
That's all.
I think it's not boxing because just touching you isn't boxing.
But there's a difference.
It's amateur boxing.
There has to be. That's like three rounds, three threes and three fives. You've got to start somewhere, and I think just touching and points is a good way of starting before you become professional. Because then we're just doing pro then.
What do you count as just touching? Though, do you know what I mean? Is that a shot? Or has it got to move the head back? Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. I've not fought amateur. I mean, how did they judge it? Was it if it touches you or how did it work?
I can't remember. We said like it was going back years now. I just can't remember feeling how dumb weird.
I get what you say. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot more high tech now. It's like in football when they're bringing this in now, crossing the line and all this stuff, the VAR.
So it's all moving that way.
I don't physically see how MMA can go that way.
Well, I think I'd love to see him, but I don't know how. This is the problem. You go, judging's bollocks. Fix it then.
For me, MMA should be scored as an whole, not just as a fight. There shouldn't be a round. It should be. He was a better fighter, he won.
I agree. I actually agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see one guy win two rounds and run away for the third.
Yeah.
Do we want to see that, or do we want to see who's been the best fighter for the 15 minutes?
Yeah. But surely as well, if you win the first two rounds, but then Scott wins the third, surely the fact that you've damaged him for two rounds and he's took it and managed to win the third, shouldn't that mean a little bit more?
What would happen if it continued to a fourth? Then would that momentum continue?
But if you just
like if it were fight till death, if it, like say if it were fight till death, he won two, but he won third. You know what I mean, like how would it have gone?
The end of the fight has to mean more than that.
Is it Thai boxing that I think Thai boxing is scored? Like, I'm sure the later rounds are scored more highly. I think
so. They don't score the first two. In Thai,
is that what it is?
Especially not the first one, mate. I've gone to Thai fights and they're just like that, laughing at each other.
Yeah,
you've got to get the bets on, lad.
No, that's not it. Yeah, no, it was getting the bets on. And then I've even seen this before numerous times where the guy, similar situation like in MMA, they think they've won, they've done enough, they don't fight the fifth round, they dance, they start doing all this and don't actually engage the other guy. Yeah. They believe in their head, I've done enough.
Crazy.
Wow.
And it's like, wow, what?
But then you also get Westerners go out there, don't they? And just start wailing from the first.
If you smash his head, you drop him in the first, second. If he wins that fifth or that fourth's the teller in Thai. If he wins that fourth, but you won the first two, and he wins the third and fourth.
Sweep score Masai as well, don't they? Like, if you're sweeping somebody, like, I see, yeah. Do you follow Liam from Badcombe.
Okay, like, is he near you?
Yeah, he's from near me, yeah. I've never trained with him, but...
you need to get that.
Yeah, he's sick.
Have you seen him?
He's in California at the minute.
Liam Harrison?
No.
Oh, follow him on Instagram. Yeah, big shout out to Liam Harrison. I don't even know the guy, but I follow him on Instagram and in some of the techniques and some of the guys fought Sanchai five times.
He's had a ridiculous amount of fights. I couldn't tell you
the numbers. Imagine that. Five times. But what a guy.
Sanchai as well. How about no?
Yeah, exactly.
he literally travels the world doing seminars. Yeah. I'm sure he's in California now doing seminars.
I highly recommend anyone that's watching this, go follow him and his technique. He's got a lot of followers and he just breaks techniques down. Yeah. Brilliant. What a brilliant
Sweeping is one of his things, innit? I mean, like, he sweeps like just seconds.
Brilliant guy to watch. Fights are always exciting. And like I say, his Instagram is very, very instructional. And especially for like guys that are coming up that like the sport, mate, brilliant.
Definitely.
Brilliant guy. So even Sanchai, I don't know if you watch Sanchai.
Yeah, I follow Sanchai.
What a guy, Sanchai. Mate. Let's talk.
I don't follow. I'll have to give him a follow.
It ended up like being like a, do you like those, what I imagine karate classes are like, where there's a guy at the front and everyone's doing the techniques. There was about 900 people. Let me
I'm going to tell you a story about Sanchai, right? So I followed him for years. He's my favourite combat fighter in the world. And I remember just watching him on Thingy for ages. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to Thailand and I'm going to train with him. No matter what it takes, I'm going. So I did. Got a flight to Bangkok. And there's an English guy in the gym called Chris. I've gone, mate, can you set me up with some sparring with him and all that? He went, yeah, get over, mate. Spencer, sorry, he's called. Next thing, I get over there, turn up to the gym. He's like, the only thing is, mate, you don't really train. And I'm like, you're joking. And he's like, nah, just turns up when he wants. It's a bit bad. It's every week, mate. 44.
Do you know what I don't get about Thai? It's like the most brutalist sport ever.
How do they do it every week?
But they fucking fight more than anybody else. Like, how do they do it? Do you know what I mean? Like, they must go in with so many knocks, like, cuts, everything. Do you know what I mean? Like,
elbows,
knees, like, checking kicks, and then they're fighting every week.
You know what it's like?
I'm banged up for like 2 weeks, miss end. Do you know what I mean?
So I go in there, I go into Yokao Gym where you've got Manachai, Sing Dam. Anyone that knows Thai knows that these are the main names. Yeah. So I walked in, got my gloves on and that. Started it in a bag. They can see I half know what I'm doing.
Where was your? Was
Yokao,
it Tiger?
Yokao. No, it's a random gym, Yokao, in the back end of Bangkok.
What's the other big one out there?
Tiger, Phuket Top Team.
These are
like the other side of the country. This one's on its own in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I've heard like the best ones are actually like
on that street.
Yeah.
No, the best ones for MMA are Tiger and Phuket Top Team. Yeah. They're on the same street. But this one, it's a very old traditional Thai gym.
Yeah.
No MMA going on there, no wrestling or nothing.
And it's just like a tin hut with no sides?
Pretty much.
And a ring and some mags?
Yeah, there you go. As basic as that.
Wow.
So anyway, I'm in there, I'm doing my session, and he's not there, so I'm thinking, fuck. But I've got like, I'm thinking, I'm not letting this go. I've got to meet Sanchai. So anyway, I've done the session, went back in the evening, done the evening session, still not there. I thought, bastard. Next day, gone to sleep, woke up, gone. Still not there. And he's like, you know what, mate? Honestly, don't really train. Next thing, I'm doing my session. He walks in, right? And I'm
just
like...
Just fanboy out like...
Yeah, oh. He walks in. He goes and sits in the office. It's like a glass thing. And I'm in a bag. Like, wow, he's actually there. Big proper fanboy. Next thing, he comes out. Hey, he's laughing around the gym. Starts, like, messing about with people, you know, kicking, punching. Gets in there. Does about 15 minutes of pads. Boom, boom. But all just like play, catching the kick, you know, like really, really light. But right, you can tell he's done it since he was that big. So next thing now, he's gone in the office, back to the office. That's all he's done. No clinching, no running. He's gone back in. And I'm like, finished my session now. I'm thinking, I don't want to go in and fanboy here now. But what do I do? So I've like waited till he's walked out. I went, oh, Sanchai, can I have a picture? He's gone, of course, of course. Nicest, most humble, polite guy, mate. I swear he's that big.
Is he?
He's tiny. Is it?
Mad, isn't
it? Smiling like that. Murderer, savage. Have you watched his fights, mate?
Yeah, it's crazy.
He's had over 400
mad
fights.
Mad.
400?
Mate,
think about 400.
No.
One a week. Oh, he's 44 now, and he's still having one a week.
It's ridiculous.
And levering everyone.
How do you keep an eye on your record when you fight that after? Do you know what I mean? I bet you got a clue what your record is.
Do you get nerves at that stage?
No. You can't.
What goes on at that stage?
There's nothing you can do 400 times that you're going to get nervous for by the time you've done 400.
Footballers think not, probably still get nervous for a big game. Do you reckon it's only when he gets a big...
Yeah.
But
yeah. I know what you're saying, like Champions League and stuff like that. I mean...
No, I think most of them little stadium town. Yeah. So fucking United fan at all, don't give me that.
You're the United fan, aren't you?
Oh, no, not now.
Just played all United fans, just played.
I know I get nervous before a fight. I mean,
I still get nervous, yeah. I don't think there's no wrong way, do I mean?
No,
like,
no.
Would you be worried if you didn't?
I'm just thinking when it gets to 400, what's going on in your head? You're in the back, you're what's actually happening now? Like, I think when the guy's actually, you're fighting with him, you take a low kick because it hurts, mate.
But that's what I'm saying, like, you need that adrenaline so that doesn't hurt, do you know what I mean? Like, so you'd hope to get nervous to have that adrenaline still there, wouldn't you? Do you know what I mean?
I don't think he can possibly. Not for.
How does,
like,
does he get psyched up then? Do you know what I mean? Like, he's got to do something to
maybe
get himself.
Some serious
I mean, I'm just fascinated because I know I've had a few fights, not a lot, nothing compared to what they're doing, but I think I still get nervous. I do. Another thing they don't
how
believe
how much has he had?
Nah, they don't have amateur.
They're pro at like 6 year old.
Classing them as pro.
They are pro, not they're classing them, they are pro.
Throwing elbows at 6 years old.
Of course not.
Didn't you have a tie fight when you went out there?
Yeah, I've had a few.
Isn't that one of those like just every Western?
Yeah, everyone jumped.
See, I've never fought a tie me like
I went in one of them bars. And then,
this is about as level as your fucking Malio one, isn't it?
But but
you fought in Malio, yeah?
I fought there as well.
Is that one of them where were there a guy there or something? If you beat him, you got a fucking free night out. So like, was that a real thing? Yeah?
Star Dave. There's a guy called Star Dave who's basically just battering tourists.
And gave pain.
He just absolutely lays waste on him and pissed up.
No, but surely, that's what I'm saying. You'll get odd guy or two over like, I'll do him.
You know, he didn't have them fights.
And no? So he just turned that ones down?
Yeah, he just like started levering like innocent 16-year-old Taurus who's pissed up.
Yeah, I bet he weighs you up first. As I look at
him. Of course he does.
You got Collie, he'd be like, mm-mm.
That's true, that though. I wonder if that's...
He still must have got filled in at least once. It must have done.
It was like a myth on the island.
Children 20 and 0, is it?
Star Davis.
Well, like, pro rules, right?
Pro rules, elbows, everything, mate.
So you fought on that show?
I thought mine was a bit different because my guy was actually a fighter and he had a gym and all that.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to fight somebody else professionally that night.
And were you out there on holiday?
Yeah, I was there. I just fought though. And it was like 4 or 5 days in and ended up going to the show and then they said they needed an opponent for him.
So is that on your pro record?
Is it fun? No. and it's on YouTube though, it's a buzz, mate. I was in pink beach short, no gum shield, nothing, mate, and then went in. And he was a Greek wrestler. He was actually a Greco-Roman wrestler. Like, I thought it was just some fucking bum off the street. He wasn't,
big dude, though.
And he pushed me against the fence. I was it was about 84 key. I was only fighting at February. I just stuck against the fence thinking, what have I got into here? But what I was saying was, because I'd had a few drinks and that before, I was relaxed.
Yeah.
Like, them nerves and that you get, they weren't even there.
How old were you when this happened then?
Oh, it's about my first or second.
Oh, before tough then?
Before tough. I was very mad. Green. But it was... There's a buzz in it, and I'm guessing that's how Sunshine feels. Yeah.
Well, I bet that's... But that's the same sort of...
What he's drunk?
No, where you don't give a fuck. Yeah. Because you're drunk, and you're like... you know it's like how many street fights happen when people are pissed? Because you're in the wishing's gone. I'm guessing when you've had 400, you're pissed constantly fighting. That's the feeling. Because you're just like, what are you going to do to me? I've seen every punch, every kick. Anything you do, I already know what you're going to do. It's like a computer. Yeah. He looks at you and he goes,
shit. How can he not have seen what you're about to do?
I know.
Your basic little bullshit tie.
He's going, come on, mate.
So, go on, talk to us about your tie fight that you had out there then.
So I'm in this bar. Everyone's pissed up. Same thing. I need to stop drink fighting. Anyway. That was a long time ago, by the way, before the commission started ringing me up.
Happen again. This is
fiction. There's a scouser. There's this guy from Liverpool. He's with his bird as well, mate. I thought, what? Fucking hell, lad, you fancy a fucking going here or what, lad?
What called you out?
Called me out, mate. I wasn't going to do this show. I didn't want to do it, but there was already a bucket in. You get their buckets, like, sort that up. And anyway, I ended up going in and fighting him, and it just didn't end well for him. And his bird ended up crying in the corner. And it was like, mate, why did you make me do that? I Superman punched him.
Cheerful.
I just went, and he just fell over like that. And I was like, but he was saying, I'm a boxer, lad, you know, fucking had boxing fights and this and that. I went, sweet, then. Let's have a go. And then the next night, I went. I had 5 in a row, by the way. By the last night, though, they set me up hard. No, they set me up 100 key Russian, mate. 100 key Russian like that. You get a lot of Russians in Thailand.
I could imagine. Yeah, I've heard that Tiger Muay like with Chechnyans, that gets a bit tasty. Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you're not trading there.
No, it's not for me.
I mean,
Magnus Sedinblad, I heard that he went. So Tiger Muay offered him like a scholarship, or whatever they call him, to go out, and so he went out like first day sparring. He got dropped, and then started sparring again, and like about something happened, and like 5 or 6 Chechnyans were around him. You know what I mean? Like, oh, fuck this, and then went home.
Why is he from ATT?
No, he's from Sweden. I don't know why I've heard that story, to be honest with you. I don't know him. Right?
I can give you personal experience for Phuket Top Team and Tiger.
Yeah.
Both absolutely amazing gyms.
Yeah.
Honest to God, I've been in America, I've been all them gyms.
You've been around, haven't you? Like,
Jake Shields out there.
Yeah.
Jake Shields, that was the first time I ever went, 2012. I've been like 6 times.
Yeah.
Tiger's mint.
You fought in Australia as well, didn't you?
Straight to there.
Yeah.
You know, on the way home, because it's so close. And listen, not a bad word about both of them. Look at all the...
So ignore what I said.
Look at Volkanovski, Tyson Tyson Tysimov, Dan Hooker, Israel Adesanya, all these guys are coming from that from Tiger. I mean, come on, the level there now is Anthony Shevchenko.
They went and put a proper MMA gym in there, didn't they?
It's
have you ever trained with Shay then? Shay Walsh.
I did when
Duke sound Shay, innit? I like Shay.
And I was in Thailand at the time, just on holiday.
Yeah.
And he just said, "Oh, any chance you can come in and give me some rounds?" I was like, "I'll give him my best goal."
Sounds like some holiday, this, like.
And then went and helped him out, give him a few rounds. Like,
yeah. You probably shouldn't go on holiday anymore.
You know what?
He says I'm training and fighting, doesn't he?
You know what we shouldn't do? We shouldn't get pissed, and someone shouldn't say we should have a fight, because I'm never going to go, "That's not a bad idea." That's what I'm going to say, innit? You know what I mean? Especially when they're like, "Half know who you are," and then go, "Fuck, I'm fancy getting in here, lad."
Because otherwise it's on Twitter like you shit it. Oh, speaking of shit houses on Twitter, did you see what Curtis Woodhouse is up to?
Ah, yeah. What's all that about, man?
Is he serious?
No, yeah, he can't.
I've heard
you think he is?
Well, he's hilarious.
But he does this anti-bullying campaign or something, I heard. So what's all that about? You can't be both, can you?
He's appalling, man.
Right, so for those who aren't aware, Curtis Woodhouse has a bee in his bonnet about MMA. I don't know why. And he started giving it the mouth. Now, your mate Paddy jumped in and said, "I'll fight you." I think he said, "Any MMA fighter, 20 grand, and I'll fight you." I think he said any weight as well.
What, in MMA?
Yeah.
In MMA? That's what
Which
I said,
is why everyone with half a brain went. So Paddy was like, "I'll fucking fight you," because Paddy strangles that motherfucker in about, what, 90 seconds tops? If he has to take his shoes off. Right?
This is fucking...
So I was like, this is interesting.
He's obviously trolling me.
Yeah, that's it, isn't
it?
But
like,
this is what I'm saying, but like, then he's like, does his anti-bullying campaign about trolls and that, don't he? Like,
yeah, he's a poorly man, isn't he?
Yeah, so really makes sense. I think he's
Curtis Woodhouse, if you're watching this, I'll happily put 20 quid up with you, mate. Not a problem. You just let me know when and where, and I'll come and take you 20 grand if you're being serious, which I know you're not, so I don't even know why I'm giving you the time of day. Scott, I'm sure Scott will too, because he's saying anyway.
Yeah, I'll give 3-1 on it.
But then he was saying about. You never see me tapping and this, that, and the other.
Oh, you're going on about tapping me. Yeah. You all tap out. Like,
that was the original tweet, wasn't it? Like, I'll make you tap like a bitch or so. It was something
like
that.
To grab his he thinks Khabib and all that because the way he. And I think.
You want someone who's going to knee bar him or something, don't you? Or heel hook him. Just heel hook him and just see if you're not tapping then, my friend.
There's one guy in the UFC who used to say it, and I remember when he. Did you remember him? He's that jiu-jitsu doesn't work. It was some guy, mate, I can't remember who it is, I have to double check. He's like, "Jiu-jitsu don't work," but he's fighting Nogueira and got tapped out and had to tap.
Yeah.
It was like, what a knob do you look like now? Jiu-jitsu does work. Everything has its place.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And this Woodhouse, mate, I don't know what the fuck you're...
I deleted somebody off my Facebook at weekend. It basically said, I can't remember his name now, but it basically said, Khabib's one-dimensional. He's one-dimensional, he's boring. And then I thought, I'll just click on it and read the comments and that. Like, and he put... Oh shit, somebody will figure him out soon.
What,
oh my god, he's 28 and 0. 28 and 0, like, he's beat everybody. Yeah.
Does Tony beat him?
Tony gives him a match. I don't know if he beat him.
I think that's the fight to make, isn't
it? The only fight after that, there's no one.
GSP, that's that.
Come on.
I don't think GSP gets
to
155.
And even if he does, like, I mean, how long have you been out of the game, mate? Khabib's regular fighting, active.
I get what you're saying.
I thought when he went for the guillotine...
He's always training, though, isn't he?
And that's the difference. But Khabib, there's training and then there's training for Khabib. And,
how do you think you beat him then? Do you think that's the Tony Muffin?
I think he gets clipped, that's it. I don't see him getting beat any other way.
Tony scrambles, though.
You think?
I think Tony's really good with the elbows off the bottom.
The elbows off the bottom's bigger.
Listen, Dustin could have guillotined him. And I think
I had to go to Chuck Vance and fight. I'll wait this weekend. Like, but
it was very.
Yeah,
he had that guillotine in.
Khabib said it was close. Like in his post fight,
he won standing, and then Khabib scrambled and got on his bike pretty quick.
Yeah,
when you was watching it live, it looked like he actually hit him with a couple. When you see the replay, he only hit him with one. Otherwise, I think he'd have gone away. I think Dustin really fucking rattled him with a.
Well, we've seen him hurt before in fights, Khabib.
Do you mean,
and he's very tenacious. And at the end of the day, he's fighting. The second best guy in the world every time.
Inarguably the hardest division as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, look at lightweight. Do you know what I mean?
Savages every second half.
Stay away from
I'm never going near that division again. Learned my lesson, mate. Stay away from them wrestlers. But yeah, I mean, second best guy in the world every time. Hand on my heart, think Tony gives him a great fight. I can't say he beats him. I'm just saying he gives him a great fight.
Gives him a good.
I definitely want. Who don't want to see it? I mean, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? But
Tony Ferguson.
Already made it four times.
He's 15-1 in the UFC. 15-1 in the UFC.
Crazy.
Tony.
12 fight win streak.
I just see him doing like forward rolls out of shit.
Him against Pettis, that was just crazy fight, wasn't it? I mean, it's, nobody can keep his up with it.
The thing is, he's
eventually, yeah,
he takes
an hiding down, doesn't he?
He takes an hiding, but he's basically, yeah, that's it.
Like Khabib's just on you. Just on you.
Yeah, but so's Ferguson.
That's what I was about
to say. So what happened?
So, yeah. So
someone has to back down.
Yeah.
And he can wrestle, he can scramble. He's got great jiu-jitsu. His hands are good. He's tenacious. He's tough. He can go the rounds. We've seen him go the distance. It's like he's the only complete guy that can fight him.
It's just when Khabib grabs hold of you, there's never any break, is there?
Imagine what it feels like.
Yeah. Apparently, Dustin said between rounds, and he said, "I can't get him fucking off me." Like, literally, as soon as he's got older, that's it. Whether he's going around to your back or he's just.
He pinned Michael Johnson away?
I don't even think it's just like grabbing hold of him.
I need this.
Imagine you sat there, you're like, what is he saying? Like, what is going on?
And then he went, Dana, give me title shot.
While he's got on the pounding, how scary is that? How intense is that?
Well, I wanted to ask both of you here, actually. Now, one of the techniques that I noticed Khabib goes for, he sort of mounts your legs.
Yeah.
So
triangles them, right?
Yeah, so the thing that you're normally going to do, when someone puts you against the cage, when they put you up against the cage, you're going to try and push up, you're going to try and cage walk a little bit and try and get yourself up.
Get one knee to the floor. Get up.
So when he takes away your feet, he triangles your feet. You can't put your feet down. Now you've got to put your hands down. Yeah. Now you're getting punched in the face. How the fuck do you overcome that?
I mean, that's a technique that we've all used. I've used that before in the past.
Yeah.
And hook the legs. He's just a master at it.
That's what I was about to say. Like, I'm sure you'll admit yourself, you haven't used it like Khabib used it. I mean, I think it's something like he's so good at it.
Why did Paul Sass have seven triangles?
Yeah.
Like, some guys are just great at mastering things. Khabib.
That was crazy, wasn't it? How many triangles he had in a row. Unbelievable.
So it's just like, listen, he's drilled that since a little kid. Even the Sambo days, he'd probably been doing that and wrestling. And the way he does it in the cage, I've never seen anyone do it as good as him. And like you say, he'll trap the legs, so you have to post. Then he'll take your post away with the opposite hand, and then he'll just
Shove it under back.
Yeah.
Oh, he's just...
Yeah, he's horrible with it. And even if you do get up, usually your whole gas tank getting out of that. Even if you do
crazy,
get up.
And
that's the difference, isn't it?
And then he shoots back in and you're back down, and you're like, wow.
How many times are you just thinking... Fuck this noise.
That's what Dustin did. He did the Hail Mary guillotine, dived on a guillotine, didn't get it, and then just went like that. Right, okay. I'm out.
When that rear naked choke went in, I know you're not seeing it yet, but it basically hits him with a rear naked choke. That is as deep as it's possible to go.
I've never seen
instantly.
A tighter choke in my whole life.
It just rips Dustin back and
he's tapping him. You know what he's using really well? That was different in this fight. The hand position. Do you see where he's grabbing his face and pulling his face?
I've seen a picture of that. Like, he's literally got his hand there.
Have you ever used that? You know, to get a choke when you're trying to get the choke?
Yeah.
He like pulls your chin up and then goes.
I've never done that. I've come across like that. Never fed up on him, but I've never. It literally just goes like that.
Yeah, grabs your face, blocks your breathing. Is that even allowed? What, just cover them off?
Yeah, but he also looked like he was going for the eyes a couple of times as well.
He wasn't, but it looked like that.
But even threatening that, I think, can probably scramble your head up.
There were a no contest in Bellator on the weekend with an eye poke. Yeah, but apparently, like, on replay, it wasn't really in his eyes. A bit dodgy, wasn't it?
Yeah, I watched that. Did you see it?
No, I saw the decision.
Bader posted it himself
I saw
said, does this really look like an eye poke?
Yeah,
he's nowhere near him, is he?
No.
But I think I'd love to see what Bader could do up against.
Where's he training at Narcongo? Because he used to be at Wolfslayer, didn't he? But
I think he does his own thing. I think after you hit 20 pro fights like yourself, you know what you're doing at that point. And you tailor your camps. You don't need to be in the gym 6-7 hours a day at that point. It's like, right, I know what I need to get fit. I know what kind of sparring I need to bring in for the fight. And, you know, it kind of goes from there.
Of course, it's a matter of getting there sometimes as well, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Do you spar all the time or do you like...
Nah, only camps.
Yeah, like, so how many weeks do you spar for then?
Starts 8 weeks out.
See, I only do 6 weeks, me.
Right,
I don't really spar in England. Like, when I'm in England, I don't really spar. Like, I'll just keep it to drills. I wrestle and grapple, do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I'm in the same mindset as you, mate.
I do a lot of gi, me, though. I do gi 4 times a week.
Never even put a gi on.
Have you not? No, never.
I'm going to try it.
Yeah, some people like say it doesn't transition across, but I think it does, mate. And I enjoy it, to be honest with you, do you know what I mean? Like, obviously, you want to still enjoy it, aren't you?
Yeah, of course.
And then it's weird, so I don't spar over here, but I do loads of gi. And then as soon as I get over there, I don't do no gi, but I spar. You know what I mean? Like, it's like swapping them around. You know what I mean?
Periodizing your training towards the fight. I'm the same as you. I won't spar. I'll actually refuse sparring up until 6 weeks, 8 weeks, because then I know my body's in shape and all my weight's down. I don't want to be sparring people, especially when we've got a bit of a name. Yeah. I don't want to be in gym sparring people.
I know what you mean, like...
When I'm unfit. I'm looking to win every round, mate.
You know what somebody like, give me some sparring. He's not that good.
Nah, mate. I want to be prepared. And at this stage now...
We ain't got no ego, but yeah, we'll win every round.
We win every round. Every fight. Anyone who wants to spar me, you better be ready, Joe. Of course, you want to win for your own mental.
Yeah, of course, man. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've been at Alliance and people have been getting levered in camps and gone and smashed people. I mean, I've seen fighters fight in the gym better than they fought, you know, in the
There's
game.
A lot of that in there.
There's a lot of that going on.
Yeah, it's crazy.
With me, I like to win the rounds. Everyone's different. Some people don't. Some people are not asked. They just know that when they get in there, they'll be better.
Yeah.
Personally, for my own thing, did I win that in my head? Yeah. I know it shouldn't be like that. And that is my ego talking, but it's just something.
No, I think it's a good way to be. I think it's like a winner's mentality. Yeah. You know what I mean? One of my coaches says you've got to have winning rounds in sparring. Whether they're getting an amateur in just like for you to work your stuff on or out, you know what I mean? Like, then winning rounds are important. And to have that winner's mentality, you know what I mean? That's my belief on it anyway.
I want to win everything.
Imagine you go in and into a fight, but you've lost 90% of your rounds in gym. You're not going in there with a good mentality, are you? You're going in thinking, fuck hell, is this going to happen? Is this going to happen in this fight?
You've got to find balance, haven't you? Because if you're just beating up bums in training.
No, listen.
Don't mistake me for saying that. I'm obviously not saying that, but what I'm saying is you need to have them winning rounds.
I do know people like that too, though. I know people that bring in cannon fodder.
Yeah.
And everyone's
fodder,
different.
I didn't want to call it that, but yeah.
That's what it is. I know rounds that they know they can win.
Yeah.
With me, I want to travel the world. I'm traveling, for the last camp, go to spar Tim Barnett, seen it was undefeated, rang up Jason Tan, let's do it. Today I sparred another undefeated guy. They're the ones that I want, hungry guys that are active. Yeah. I don't want to be, what am I going in there to spar someone who I know I can beat up? What am I getting and what's he getting? Do you know what I mean? He knows he's going to get beat up. I'm going to beat you up. My ego's, I might get a bit of an ego boost, but in terms of like coming forward for the fight, I want to be sharp. I want to be tested. I want you to throw stuff that'll make me react. If I'm just walking forward with my hands down, touching you, what am I getting out of it?
Do you look for sparring around like
the fighter?
Of course. If you're fighting
grappler,
you need to be a grappler. Like if fighting striker, you need to try to get that in. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
I try to let my coaching know as early as I can.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm 4 weeks out. I've still not got an opponent, so I'm just kind of doing everything now. I mean, like you say, at this stage, it don't really matter. I know, still not got an opponent. Yeah. PFL.
Have you had one and it's pulled out? Or?
I've had a list and this has happened. That's happened. Yeah.
Did that change? I thought we had one.
Oh yeah, we did. That's changed, yeah.
All right, okay.
You know what it's like.
Yeah.
Come on. I don't believe it until I'm looking across from you and it goes ding ding. That's the only time I believe that.
How many times does your opponent, do you know what I mean? Like even worse coming up, you know what I mean? Like when you're getting paid a few hundred quid, like you said, like
fight him. Yeah. Fighting five guys.
Yeah. I literally till I was 7-0, I didn't fight anybody. Me for simple, not for fights of trying. Yeah, like I had five decent names. You know what I mean? But they all pulled out fight week and I ended up fighting a journeyman. You know what I mean? I was so many journeymen on my record. I didn't do a full camp for them. I promise you. You know what I mean? But obviously, then when I got my opportunity, I showed what I'm capable of. Like, and I actually got my opportunity on a short notice fight. So on Cage Warriors, what he called Matt Nielsen were fighting in Glasgow. He ended up, he's Swedish, he ended up fighting in UFC. Yeah. I think Lou Barnett fought him actually.
Okay.
Anyway, so he was fighting in Glasgow and they needed an opponent for him. My management put me forward, look, we've got Scarscombe 7-0, he's ready. Like, no, Matt's too experienced for him, he's not fighting him.
Right.
Anyway, I was meant to fight this guy called Matt Howard. I've got the wrong name then. It's Matt.
Is he from Jimmy Waller's gym?
Is he called Matt Howard? No, that's
no.
There's two Matts here.
And Matt Howard.
That's it. Yeah. I think there might be both from that gym actually. Yeah, Matt Howard's a traveller.
Correct.
So anyway, I was scheduled to fight him, and that didn't happen. And then Dennis and Sutherland were fighting at Matt Nielsen.
Okay.
But Matt Nielsen pulled out injured on 2 weeks' notice. And like I said, I took the fight and ended up beating Dennis on 2 weeks' notice. Like that. Yeah.
Same with me.
And then
Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
Well under experience, shouldn't have been anywhere near that tough fight, but you got to take opportunities.
Waldwich, big up to Lerone this weekend.
Yeah, great performance. Yeah. Great
notice against Adagi. And pulled out a fucking draw out of it. Joe, when you're watching the fight go down, did you watch him?
Yeah, watch the fight.
So I'm watching it going down and I'm thinking, knowing how MMA judges here, because all this guy's doing is taking him down and he's just holding him, isn't he? He wasn't punching him, he wasn't advancing his position, yeah. Just fucking shagging his leg. And I was like, but he's lost this every round because that's how the judges are, even though he's done some damage, he's gone for some stuff.
Apparently, judging's changed.
Yeah, I've heard that as well, yeah.
Definitely.
In terms of that fight, it definitely has because, you know.
They read his name out first, don't they? Lerone winning it, and I went, what?
I'm glad it's changed because I am sick to death of these guys just take you down. They don't punch, they don't advance position, they don't try and do anything just apart from what. And it's like, are we fighting?
It's crazy.
What do people
want to
watch? Yeah. So I'm glad they've changed the scoring round now.
It does matter now how big a takedown scores. You know what I mean? Like, you could literally take somebody down, do nothing, and win a round. It's like,
well, talking of takedowns,
imagine taking someone down for 10 seconds.
I will never, ever do a 10 second takedown. Again, just for the record. 10 second break corner.
I'd definitely be doing that.
Yeah,
to score.
Of course, yeah.
On that note, let's wrap it up.
Right, Scott, thank you.
Nice one. Cheers on
you
guys. Yeah.
And good luck, obviously, with the defence next time you're fighting.
Cheers.
And thank you guys for joining us. Make sure to hit that subscribe button and we'll be back next week. We've only got a couple of weeks left, haven't we?
Yeah,
because then you're obviously
going
to go disappear because he's got.
You know, Mohamed Mokaev next week. Tune in. This will be very exciting.
Nice, man,
And we've got a date for Dan Hardy as well, so I'll talk to you about
that. Yeah, you're getting Dan on there. Nice, man. Nice.
Right, thanks for watching. We'll see you in the next one. Laters.